This episode of the Jeffersontown Chamber Podcast is brought to you by Signorama Louisville East, your total project management sign company, and by the City of Jeffersontown.
Buy, boost, and build. Those are the Jeffersontown Chamber's founding principles. The Chamber and the City of Jeffersontown work to make J-Town a great place to live, work, and play. Welcome to the Jeffersontown Chamber Podcast. Now let's get into the show and hear what's going on in our great community. Here's your host, Rick Redding.
And here we are once again in Jeffersontown, home of the Jeffersontown Chambers podcast. We're the only podcast of its type in the country that we know of, so it's a very special thing. Glad to have you with us, and thank you for downloading the J-Town Chamber podcast. This is your host, Rick Redding, and I have a couple of guests on the show today that you're really going to want to hear from. It's very interesting stuff and a lot of great stuff going on in the city of J-Town, where it's a great place to live, work, and play. On behalf of the nearly 1,000 members, business members of the J-Town Chamber, it's my pleasure to bring you this podcast. Let me tell you about our guests, first of all. First up, we have John Asher. John Asher is a guy I went to college with, actually, and his brother, Tim, is a board member of the J-Town Chamber, and John is the Vice President of Communications at Churchill Downs. He's a great guy. He knows everything there is to know about the Kentucky Derby, I think, and Churchill Downs. He has a special connection to Jeffersontown. And did you know J-Town is the birthplace of Roscoe Goose, who is a legendary figure in Churchill Downs history. And John will talk a little bit about that. And also about the reason that John is on the show this week is on Thursday, he is the guest speaker at our Going Beyond Scholarship Breakfast. And John will say a few words, but the main thing is it's a great thing that the Chamber has done. We've raised $10,000 to award four $2,500 scholarships to deserving members who want to continue their education. And, a while back we had Shelley Gardner of Famous Dave's on the show, and she talked about winning the scholarship last year. There were only two last year. Now there's four. So that's a really special thing, and all of us are indeed proud of being able to fund these Going Beyond scholarships. And so on Thursday, we'll find out who the four winners are for 2016. So that's a big special event. We're looking forward to it, and I'll be there. I hope you can go. If you want to go, just give them a call over at the Chamber at I think the number is 502-267-1674, and they'll set you up with a ticket to the scholarship breakfast. It's going to be a great event, and really looking forward to it. It's going to be over at Oxmoor Country Club, just so you know, and sponsored by American Express, and we're very happy to look forward to John Asher's speech there. But you'll hear plenty from John in my conversation with him on this show. We've also got a visit from Mayor Bill Dearth, who is talking about the some of the changes coming up in Jeffersontown, in downtown. The Vietnam Memorial Scholarship is coming up. I asked the mayor about that project and what its stage it was in. And lastly, in the last part of the show, Josh Kinzel of a J-Town Chamber member and business, K&S Customs. It's over there on Grassland Drive, right off Plant Side. And Josh has, if you like motorcycles, I tell you, you got to go see. I've got a picture of a motorcycle that they're giving away in a raffle. They're selling, I think, 1,000 tickets for $20 each to benefit the Combat Military Veterans Association. It helps veterans that come back from combat who are either injured or homeless or having a hard time. It puts them back on their feet for 6 months and gets them going. It's a very worthy cause. And so you can buy these raffle tickets over there. They're going to giving away this super motorcycle, custom built over there at the, I think he said the AMVETS post on Smyrna Parkway on July 9th. So that's a big event. I think you'd be really interested in hearing the story, Josh's story. He's really doing a great thing for our military veterans. And as we wind up the patriotic holiday of the 4th of July, it's a good thing to get involved in. So I encourage you to listen to the show. Go to Facebook and look at the J&S Customs. That's K&S Customs, that's C-U-S-T-O-M-Z, K&S Customs page, and there's sort of a step-by-step story about how this great motorcycle was put together. I think you'll enjoy, if you're into motorcycles at all, you'll enjoy seeing that there. So, what else is going on in the chamber this month? It's, of course, a big month. It's July, but that doesn't mean things slow down at the J-Town Chamber. We've got a golf event next Tuesday, the 12th, going over to Wildwood Country Club. I hope to be a part of that and hope you'll join me. It should be a lot of fun. A couple of ribbon cuttings next week on Thursday and Friday, the Forest Hills Commons and Image Detail are having ribbon cuttings. And I'm really looking forward to the 21st. It's a Thursday night, and it's Dollar Beer at Slugger Field, and we will be having a big group from the J-Town Chamber at the Chamber Night at the Bats on the 21st of July. That's a Thursday night, and remember, get there early for the Dollar Beer. And lastly, this month, on the 27th, a very special event, the Business Blast is going to take place at a place it's never been before, to my knowledge, at Ruth's Chris in the Caden Tower. And coinciding with that, it'll be a ribbon cutting for Snelling Staffing, of which J-Town board member Paula Presley, who I know very well, is an employee there. And that ought to be a lot of fun on the 27th. So you can put that on your calendar as well. But now let's get on with the show. I want to first we're going to have a message from our sponsor, Cinerama Louisville East. Cinerama and the City of J-Town sponsor the show. We're very grateful to those organizations for getting behind this podcast and helping us make it work, make it happen. So then we're going to hear from John Asher. We'll hear our Ask the Mayor segment, and then Josh Kinzel of K&S Customs will be on the show in an interview that I did over at his place on Grassland Drive just the other day. It was just the other day. So a lot going on in J-Town. Remember to, if you have any questions about any events, so you can call Megan or Abigail over there, or you might even get John Cosby, the boss at the J-Town Chamber, to ask any questions about any upcoming events, how to promote your business through the J-Town Chamber. And before we move on with the show, here's a quick word about Cinerama Louisville East, one of our sponsors on the program, and we really appreciate their support. You can see Lloyd over there for any sign problem you have or opportunity. He is at 502-454-4321. They have a great office over at 9824 Bluegrass Parkway in the Bluegrass Commerce Park. Go by and see Lloyd, and they can do everything from indoor and outdoor signs to vehicle graphics, all signs. They're your total project management solution for signage. And thanks to Cinerama for being a part of the show. I'm happy to be up at Churchill Downs again with my good friend John Asher, Vice President of Communications. John, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
And we're going to talk a little bit about J-Town today, yep. And you've got several connections, including starting your professional career in some fine apartments in J-Town.
Yeah, once I left Western Kentucky University, just shy of graduation, but that's another story in another podcast, I moved to Louisville to go to work for a radio station, which was then KJ100 and WCII. I got to work with the legendary Bill Bailey. In my first job in the city of Louisville, but
you gotta really remember something.
I do have some memories.
Bill Bailey.
There are several podcasts worth of memories there. But yeah, I moved in with a friend from my days at Western Kentucky University, Gary Moore, who now works in radio in L.A. and lived for a year or so in some apartments there in J-Town. So that was my first home in Jefferson County And I've always had pretty close ties to Jefferson Town High School. One of my old college roommates served as athletic director there for many years. Okay. So I was a free of charge public address system operator for many, many events,
really?
Football and basketball at J-Town High. But yeah, a lot of great experiences in J-Town. And we have a direct connection between Churchill Downs
and I know Roscoe Goose, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody in J-Town knows there's signage and there's mm-hmm. there's a plaque up there in town.
A poster there in the city recognizing Roscoe Goose, who won the 1913 Kentucky Derby on a horse named Donorail. And Don Rail is important in Kentucky Derby history because he is
the longest shot ever to win.
The longest shot ever to win the Kentucky Derby. He was 91-1 shot. We've had 250-1 shots in the last few years, mind that Bird and Giacomo, but they were nowhere close to Donner Rail. And Roscoe Goose was from the J-Town area, and actually his half-brother, Carl Gans, also won a Kentucky Oaks. So the family produced two jockeys that won one of the biggest races here at Churchill Downs. But Roscoe is one of the intriguing characters in the history of the Kentucky Derby, and really a legend in the racing industry here. And it's special for me when I get to visit that tribute to Roscoe.
Well, he went on. I know a little bit about this history. He went on to become an owner, a trainer, and had a house very close to the track.
Really close to Churchill Downs. House is still there, and every year or two, I hear of a new thought on how to develop that and to build on the Goose family history. But Roscoe Goose, honored there in J-Town, is really one of the great figures in the history of Kentucky racing, which makes him a pretty great figure in the history of Kentucky.
There you go. Well, let's talk for a second about why we're here. Mm-hmm. We're very thrilled out in J-Town to have you come and speak to the Going Beyond Scholarship breakfast event. And tell me what you know about that.
Just looking forward to the event. I know it does fund some wonderful scholarships for some from very very deserving and students who or would be students who want to get back in the job market and work on their skills and some of these students, mostly students a little later in life. And I think it's a good fit for a representative from Churchill Downs, because I think our industry, thoroughbred racing, exemplifies the concept of lifelong learning as well as any industry ever. Obviously, it's a time-honored industry. We've got 142 years of history here at Churchill Downs. The racing industry outside of Churchill Downs in Kentucky dates back about another 100 years or so. But you think about the people who spend their lives in this business, especially those that handle the horses and are really in the nuts and bolts part of thoroughbred racing. I can't think of any other business that presents more of an opportunity to learn something new, a new skill, to apply that new skill, to apply that new knowledge every day than thoroughbred racing. I'm not just talking about riders and trainers. I'm talking about the people who own thoroughbred horses, those who manage the stables, those who run the breeding operations, and in a significant part, those who work at the racetrack. So many of the people who work here get into the business early on and spend their lives in it. And again, it's that learning every day. That's a critical part of what we do here, and I think that's the spirit of these scholarships and giving one the opportunity to not only build on what they've become, what they've learned, but to maybe reinvent themselves with this opportunity. And the scholarships provide a great opportunity.
All right. Well, it is a great event. We're happy to have you coming out. Anything that we should know? Anybody listening to this before this speech? Anything you want to do to say maybe make them stay away or entice them to come?
Entice them to come. I promise them I will not run down my list of Derby winners. The success in picking them, as that's not the strongest point on my resume. We'll talk a little bit about what we do here and what Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby and Oaks mean to this community, what we mean to life in this community. And again, as one of the oldest entities, one of the oldest business entities in this community, going back 142 years, by next year's Derby, we'll be at Derby 143 since the first one was run in 1875. Our community has seen a lot of change, incredible growth. We've seen ups and downs, and I think we're on a real uptick right now. I think most people would agree that there are great things happening in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana at this point in our lives, and just to try to tie those together and again, I think it's an easy comparison with this great scholarship program, the opportunities that it presents, and to see the growth in not just our industry but our community and Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby's place in it.
Well, I think Churchill Downs probably has touched almost everyone's life.
In some way, yeah.
In some ways. Yeah. I mean, you may not know this. I go back. My father was a paramutual clerk here, and my mother worked for Harry M. Stevens, the caterer, for a long time. My first experience here was being a busboy, believe it or not, up at the Millionaire's Row. So I'm sure a lot of people have stories like that and connections to the track. And they'd all like to have a job like yours, though.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world to have the job that I have. It's a little stressful at some points, and especially in the spring of the year. If you like days off, you don't like my job. But if you want to be around in an exciting event that the entire community rallies around, and if you want to see the excitement of new racing stars and hopes and dreams come to fruition in the spring every year, it's a pretty good place to be. And then through the rest of the meet too, I think, as you're saying, I think a lot of us have a very tangible connection to what happens at my place of employment and the sport of thoroughbred racing, and obviously the spectacle of the Kentucky Derby. But I think a lot of us, too, if we dig a little deeper, you'll find some more solid connections. I know in my life, I did not realize this until about 2 or 3 years ago. And I grew up out in the country, as we would say. I grew up down near Litchfield, Kentucky, on a little farm, and thankfully, within the radio and television market of the Kentucky Derby, so because I watched on TV and listened on the radio and fell in love with the Kentucky Derby really that way. But I learned a few years ago my grandfather was a farrier. He put shoes on horses, and I had no idea. He had a little shop over the hill from the house where I grew up, and little did I know that should have been a shrine to me, thinking about where life was going to go. So I think we've all got that. Once you sit down, think about it, maybe talk to some relatives, and you'll find that we all have connections, maybe even in our little deeper than we realize.
Yeah, and there's something that locals have said for years that I always look at them and shake my head, because I started going to the Derby when I was in high school, and it's like, well, I live here. I live 4 miles from the track, but I've never been to the Derby.
You got to
get those locals out there.
But you're all connected in your special way. There was a great documentary that was done by some students, came in here about 3 years ago, and did a documentary on some of the neighborhoods surrounding the racetrack. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing that how many of those people who lived in Lucky Horseshoe and other neighborhoods directly connected to the racetrack had not been to the Kentucky Derby. But the Kentucky Derby had not only touched their lives because of 160,000
they're out there selling parking spaces.
Well, they are selling parking spaces, which is a time-honored part of the Kentucky Derby tradition. But also, a lot of those residents, while they have not come to the Derby, they have made friends with a lot of the people who come in. There are people who park in the same yards every year. They have food ready for them. They have a little picnic for them. They're an incredible strong bonds and relationships that have been built by those residents who, again, may not have made it here for Kentucky Derby or Kentucky Oaks Day, but have made it a special day through those relationships.
Yeah, around.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's amazing. It is.
It's really something. Now, one last thing about J-Town, and you have a connection to a special member of our board of directors. So what about your brother, Tim? How come he couldn't get into racing?
Well, he had the opportunity. He had a brother who would not shut up about it, but he decided to head into to some other directions. And we're very close in terms of age. There's only a year and a half difference. And yeah, he had some interest in it, but not to the obsession level that has brought me to where I am. This was my 20th Kentucky Derby as an employee at Churchill Downs.
Wow. So
my first one was 1997, or Silver Charm, as we call it.
Wow.
Those who when you come here, you remember your first Derby winner. So next year will be my 20th anniversary here at the track, although we've been through 20 Derbies. And I was fortunate enough to have, when I came to
Was
Louisville,
that your first one you attended in person in
1997? No, my first one I attended in person was the first year I came to work in Louisville, when I left Bowling Green and Western Kentucky University to come here and go to work for that radio station I mentioned earlier, and I was the only guy in the building who knew anything about horse racing, so I instantly became the horse racing guy, and that was 1982. Gato del Sol was the winner, and I've been to every Derby since then.
Yeah. I was in the infield that year.
Were you? Yeah.
With a bunch of my buddies from WKU.
You know, I've wandered through just to say that I'd been through that part of the experience. So I wanted to get the whole thing on my first. I dreamed so many years about being there. But my direct connection to Churchill Downs and this community, at least in terms of employment and career, goes back to 82.
Wow. So last thing before we go, is it true you know the name of every Derby winner?
I can't recite them in order, and thank God we don't have time to attempt it here. But, I've got a pretty fair working knowledge of most Kentucky.
Okay, we'll test you then, just
pretty
for fun. The year I was born, 1960.
Mm-hmm. Carry back.
Carry back, okay.
One of the great Kentucky Derby winners, owned by Jack Price. One of the least distinguished pedigrees in the history of the Kentucky Derby. He was by a stallion named Saggy, and the mare was named Joppy. And went on to be one of the great Kentucky Derby winners in history, and actually went abroad and ran in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe in France. Didn't win it, but one of the rare Derby winners to have competed abroad after winning the Run for the Roses.
Well, there you go, folks.
In J-Town. Want to try me again?
Come out with your questions at the Going Beyond Scholarship Breakfast on next Thursday, and we'll look forward to seeing you, John.
Looking forward to being there. I really am. Love coming to J-Town. I've spoken there on many occasions through the years, and definitely looking forward to this one.
And we're back on the Jefferson Town Chamber podcast. I am with Mayor Bill Dieriff, talking on our Ask the Mayor segment, brought to you by the City of Jeffersontown. And Mayor, this week we want to talk about a very important project, a very exciting project coming to town, the Vietnam Memorial Project. And I understand there's a lot of activity underway in terms of making that a part of our city.
A group named Tri-N is a nonprofit group that wants to bring a memorial to Jefferson County. After talking to them and showing them about our Veterans Park, which is devoted to the veterans, day in and day out, 365 days of the year, they wanted to be a part of a destination. They didn't want to be a novelty out someplace. They wanted to be a part of a destination. So they picked Veterans Park to have a Vietnam Memorial Project, which covers almost an acre of land. And they've set out a design competition across the United States. And at this point, I would like to call on some local design people to pick up on the competition to help us design what would be the best memorial for those soldiers and those people that helped fight over in Vietnam. It's time we step up and we show those people that have given their life for our country that we respect them. So please, if you know somebody that would be interested, it's a very short time. It's ending in August. Ask them to get involved in designing the Vietnam Memorial in Jeffersontown at Veterans Park.
And today, the J-Town Chamber podcast is at one of the great small businesses in the Bluegrass Commerce Park. It's K&S Customs, and I'm with Josh Kensel. And Josh, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
We're really excited about this event you're involved in, and it's a benefit for combat veterans. Give me a little overview of what the event is all about.
Okay, the event's called the Freedom Rumble, and it's in next weekend, July 9th. They're going to start off with a ride and different things, but where we come in, the two organizations that's putting the event on is AMVET 61. Post 61, and they're on Smyrna Road, and the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, Chapter 1-4. And what they're doing is they're building transition kits, and a transition kit will help get a homeless veteran here in Louisville off the street and into an apartment for 6 months, and then also provide them with all the daily essential living needs they have for that six-month period. And how we got involved was one of the members that's still active duty. She wanted to donate an 09 Sportster, it's only 3,000 miles, to be raffled off at the event. And all the proceeds of those rafflings were going to go to helping build the transition kits.
Okay. Well, I've seen the bike. It looks great. I'm sure it's fast, and it's very cool. So I'm sure people are going to want to get a shot at that. How do you get those raffle tickets?
Well, you can come by the shop here and see the bike in person, all the changes we made to it and everything. And then there's also a phone number that is posted on our Facebook page. If you get on our Facebook page, there'll be a flyer and a phone number you can call and get tickets that way. Tickets are $20, and they're only selling 1,000 of them. And so their goal is if they sell 1,000 at $20, then they'll raise $20,000 for the local homeless veterans here in Louisville.
Wow, well, what a great cause. And, you got a little bit of a better chance in your mind if you know there's a limited number of tickets that are going to be sold. Anything like this been done before? Have you been involved in this event?
No, we haven't. We've only been open about 14 months here.
Okay.
And so 14, 15 months. So we're slowly, people starting to learn about us. But, yeah, we... being veteran-owned, we stay very active with anything and everything we can do for active duty and veterans alike. It was, of course, just right up our alley to jump on board and help out with customizing this bike to raise more money.
Okay. Well, it's great. Well, tell me a little bit about your business. It's tucked away behind the Advanced Auto Parts on plant side, I guess, I look back here, there's a lot of bikes being worked on, I guess. What kind of people are your customers?
Well, we're American Motorcycle Parts and Repair, Service and Repair. So we'll do Harley Davidsons or anything that's based on the Harley design. The reason we don't do metric bikes is we're just not tooled up for it. And okay. we're only tooled up for Harley Davidsons and alike motorcycles. So we work on all of them all years. We do everything in-house, our own engine work, everything. And we specialize in the real old ones. We've done a lot of old panhead and shovel head repairs and rebuilds, and restorations and whatnot. We service from all the way back to flatheads up to the brand new twin cams.
Wow. Wow. Well, those are terms that I'm not familiar with, but I'm sure our motorcycle fans out there are very familiar with. And of course you guys are members of the J-Town Chamber, and certainly glad to have you as a part of the chamber. As a new business in the Commerce Park, have you seen some benefit? You've seen some benefit of being part of the chamber?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Being part of the chamber keeps our name out there and in front of other new businesses that come in, which leads to networking and helps us work with each other, which helps a lot. And being in industrial park is big too, because majority of the people that are working here are blue collar guys that have bikes, and so they see us every day on their way home, and they'll remember it when it's time to get their bike worked on.
Well, I tell you, I've seen the bikes here in the shop. It's I guess it's fun because people think of bikes and they think of how much fun they are to ride.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of a lot of bikes here. But it must have been a real source of pride to do this one for the combat military veterans.
Yeah, it's it means a lot to us. There's a lot that's going on with veterans today, and you've heard a lot of people talk about veteran suicide, and there's 22 veterans in one active duty a day right now committing suicide, and sometimes the homeless part of it goes with them with that. They feel like they have nothing else to turn to, so hopefully helping with this part, the homeless part, getting them in a shelter, showing them that they are loved and they're all cared about, will help them get a second look on life and not end up tragically like a lot of them do.
Sure. And Josh, you must have some connection to this issue. Touched your family?
I'm retired military. I retired 2 years ago from the Army. And so, yeah, we've had young men in our unit where we got back from deployment, and, we lost guys downrange, and we got these guys back, and you almost have a sigh of relief that you get them back. And then a couple weeks later, a few of them commit suicide. Just hard to be able to readjust kind of transition back to normal life. So we see the manic or the depression that can come with it, and it's just a downward spiral, and then ends up to this kind of stuff where they're living on the street, they can't get head straight, and they just need an arm around them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And your experience in the Army, where you were deployed, I guess?
Yeah, I was deployed. I was a reconnaissance officer. Okay. And so we were deployed in Afghanistan. We had, multiple people that came back with, lost several people, and guys came back and they were alive, but their life's been altered forever, physically and mentally. So,
well, we certainly appreciate your service and glad to that you've been able to start this business, run a successful business here in J-Town, that's got to be pretty satisfying for you as well.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you first come out of the military after you've been in for a long time, you got to find, it's like finding a purpose, because every single day in the military, you are given your purpose and you're told what you're doing, and even as a leader. And so it's nice to be able to come here and have something like the business and its purpose, always trying to make it grow and gives you something to work for all the time.
Sure. And you, have you always had an interest in motorcycles? Where did that come from?
Yeah, I grew up with dirt bikes and whatnot. And actually, when I got back from the last deployment in Afghanistan, I got back and, you know, just like I said, you got idle time. Your hands are, you know, you need to keep your hands and your mind busy. So I actually bought an old shovel head, a 1978 shovel head, a basket case that was in pieces, and begun repairing it and rebuilding it. And that's kind of what ignited it. And I've, since then, I've built a few customs, restored a bunch of old Harleys. So.
And you mentioned growing up on bikes. Was that around here? Or
no, I'm from Cincinnati originally.
Cincinnati,
yeah,
okay.
My wife and I both born and raised in Cincinnati.
Well, very good. Well, we're happy to have you here in J-Town and glad to have you participating in this great charity event. Let's tell people one more time how they can get raffle tickets and when that bike is going to be given away.
Okay, the raffle tickets, we have quite a few of them here. So if you want to come to see us at 2515 Grassland Avenue, in the industrial park, you can get them here. There's also a number. If you go to our Facebook, scroll down through there, you'll see a flyer that's been posted for the event, and it has a phone number on there, and you can call a lady named Dee, and she will help you get squared away on your tickets as well.
Okay, great. And that event on July 9th, it's over at the post on Smyrna, on Smyrna Road, and I guess people who bought raffle tickets will want to be there to see the drawing, right?
Yeah, they can, but they don't have to be. So you don't have to be present to win. We've got people from out of state, you know, us from being from Cincinnati. There's a lot of people from Cincinnati that bought tickets. And there's military members across, you know, all over that's bought tickets. So if they win, we'll coordinate all the shipping and everything we need to get the bike to them.
All right, Josh. Well, appreciate you taking time to talk to me on the podcast. The J-Town Chamber podcast is grateful for all you're doing here, and we'll look forward to hearing about who wins the bike.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Hopefully it's someone here local so we can see it all the time.
Thanks for listening to the Jefferson Town Chamber podcast, brought to you by Signorama Louisville East and the City of Jefferson Town. Tune in every week with Rick Redding as he spotlights the awesome community of Jefferson Town, Kentucky.